Matthew 36 to 44, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Bible says, and this is what Ann said, no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other one left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, the other one left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Lord, I pray your anointing this morning, clarity and comprehension. Lord, that we can indeed understand that you have plans for us. Lord, that you're not far away, but you are indeed closer than a brother. And Lord, we thank you that you come and guide us today, and we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. If you got your phone out, I'm assuming you're looking at the Word. Amen? Amen. All righty. Talk about a meeting in the air. I had a meeting on Thursday, and it was a meeting with a new doctor. They have, where I go, they have a doctor who's just going to, he just is going to do diabetic patients, and I am one. And so we started talking, and we talked for 45 minutes. And normally I get 15 minutes there. So we're talking, and we're talking about diabetes and the advance of diabetes, and we're talking about medication, we're talking about all these things, and we're talking and talking. He's looking at my feet, and he's doing stuff, looking at my test results and talking, and he goes, got to exercise. He goes, man, I just got off the elliptical before I came here, and starts talking, and he goes, well, you're a diabetic because of what you eat. Okay? He says, you need to be a vegetarian. Whoa! I'm like, say what? He goes, oh yeah, vegetarian. He goes, you want to be well? Yeah. Vegetarian. And people come back and they're so happy. I'm like, okay, doc, I already don't eat bread, rice, potatoes, beans. Now, you're saying that if I stop eating meat, I'm going to start eating those things? He says, oh, no, you can't eat those either. You know what? I quickly discovered that this is a meeting I did not want to be in. Can I get a witness on that? Now, we're going to talk today about a meeting in the air. And that is a meeting you are not going to want to miss. All righty. We're in this series called Breaking Through Darkness. And it was a focus, has been a focus on the cross as Easter, which a couple weeks back. We took a look at Matthew chapter 26 through 28. We're looking at Jesus, the Holy Week, moving towards the cross, death, resurrection on the third day. He rose from the dead. Amen? Amen. And I told you that we would rewind back to Matthew 24 as we start talking about end time. We did that last week, and Jesus said, hey, things are going to get tough. Anybody have a tough week this week? Challenges. I was talking with Teresa, her mother in the hospital, continue to pray for Beatrice, bacteria that was resistant to medications in her chest. They had to keep her chest, just a ton of stuff, and just the challenge is having to go there. She's got a breathing tube in because she can't breathe, and it's not good. Amen? Jesus said things are going to get tough. But he said, keep strong and carry on. Amen? Amen. We're going to talk. He says, keep strong, carry on, because I'm coming back. And that's what we're going to talk about today. A meeting in the air. The rapture of the church. Bible tells us that Jesus indeed is going to come in the clouds and he's going to call up those who know him to meet him there. It's a meeting you won't want to miss. It is called the rapture. We're also going to take a look at the seven-year period following the rapture, called the tribulation. That's not something you want to participate in.
That's right.
We'll talk about the coming of the Antichrist and the false prophet. Stuff they used to make movies about in the 70s. Anybody old enough to remember The Omen? Other than Anne. Anybody remember The Omen? Yeah, man. And The Exorcist. You know, Exorcist came out and the churches were full for about 2 weeks. I'll tell you what, man. You get a grip on what is coming, you start paying attention. Amen? Amen. We're going to talk about there's going to be a meeting in the air. And I want to let you know, this is not a meeting you want to miss. Amen? We're spend our time 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and then we're going to take a look at Revelation. All right. The day of the Lord. We're talking about the day of the Lord. Comes in two parts. Take a look at the first part. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 5:2. For the Lord himself will come. Now, what do you think the Lord himself means? It means not a fake. The Lord himself. Amen? Amen. Will come down from heaven. This is a real deal. With a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. This is good. I got a lot of text today. Is that okay?
Yes.
I got a lot of text today. That's where I got to go. Okay, here we go. You can buy me lunch today, man. All right. The dead in Christ will rise first. That means if you died, you get to go to the front of the line. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, brothers and sisters, about the times and dates, we do not need to write you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. The rapture happens in the clouds. Jesus comes back in the clouds. The dead in Christ will rise. He calls them up out of their graves. That's why some people have a problem with, what do you call it when you burn people up after they're dead?
Cremation.
You know what? Cremation is no problem for the Lord. Amen. He's calling you out of a grave. He can handle cremation. Can I get a witness on that? All righty. And then those who are alive will raise up. Matthew chapter 24. Two women will be in the field. One will be taken. Which one's going to be taken? The one who knows Jesus. Amen? The one who's given her life to the Lord and said, Lord, I want you to be my Savior. He says, I'll save you. And the other one's going to be left. Two men in a field, two women grinding with a mill. One taken, one left. Going to go be a meeting in the air. It's not a meeting you want to miss. One thing about the rapture, it's going to be noisy. There's going to be a shout, a loud command from, I got to think an archangel can shout pretty loud.
Amen.
And there is going to be the trumpet call of God. Yeah, as he plays trumpet. I'll tell you one thing about trumpet. You're in a band, you got a trumpet, you are the loudest instrument there is. That's why you got them mutes for the trumpets. Because boom! So it's going to be a noisy thing. And you know what? We are surrounded by people who say, you got nothing to worry about. God's not done anything. God's not doing anything. And God's not going to do anything. God's far away. And Paul says to the church in Thessalonica, destruction will come on those people like that. They're going to miss the meeting. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's keep going. 2 Thessalonians. I was just in 1 Thessalonians. Now we're jumping to 2 Thessalonians. In fact, I had more 1 Thessalonians. You can read on it through chapter 5. I had more I couldn't fit it in. I had to cut it out. We'd be here all afternoon. That might be a good, well, here we go. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 5. Don't let anyone deceive you. You know what that means? You can be deceived. Don't get ripped off. Don't get lied to. Be on your guard. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. For that day will not come until the rebellion occurs. And the man of lawlessness is revealed. The man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? The day of the Lord, when the Lord comes back, he is going to end this rebellion. Okay? Okay? Yeah. All right. So I talked about two halves, right? First half is the rapture. Then we got the tribulation, and the Lord comes at the end of the tribulation. Okay? Complicated stuff. Wrapping this into one message can be a challenge to grasp your mind around all that. We are going to take a look first at the man of lawlessness. This is the Antichrist. Revelation 13:1. The dragon is Satan. Okay? The dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on its horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. This is the Antichrist. If you keep reading in chapter 13 of Revelation, it describes the beast of the earth. That is the false prophet. And so what we have the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have an unholy Trinity of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. The Antichrist opposes everything that is called God or that is worshipped. John tells us, every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. That spirit of Antichrist is already moving among us and sets himself up against everything that is God or everything that is worshiped. Okay? We see it in our government, right? Got to take church out of the schools. Got to take church out of our judicial system. We got to take God out of everything. Right? And they take little stuff and they try and rip him out of our culture. And you see what is going on in our culture, and there is not an awareness or a love of the Lord. Amen? Amen? Why? Because the spirit of Antichrist is already among us. Now, we talk about this man of lawlessness, we're talking about the actual Antichrist coming. He will be a political figure who will rise to worldwide renown and status. Think of, anybody know who Alexander Putin is? Hand up, Putin. Alexander is his first name, right? Anybody know if that's his first right name? Vladimir. Okay, Vladimir Putin. All right, now Vladimir. We know about Vladimir. All right, and who knows who Donald Trump is? How about Barack Obama, right? Any one of these guys, right, who are world renowned. This will be somebody who everybody's going to know him. And he is going to make a covenant. Bible says, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 says, he's going to make a covenant with many for 7 years. Daniel writes of this covenant that he makes with Israel. And he makes this covenant with Israel for 7 years, and is in this time, during the tribulation, in which the Israelis rebuild the temple. How are they going to do it? I don't know. You have the Dome of the Rock where the temple's supposed to go. Antichrist is going to make a contract, a covenant with many people. And they're going to build that temple. And halfway through that 7-year period, the Antichrist is going to declare himself to be God. Picture it. Picture Donald Trump making a deal with the Israelis, building the temple, and when the temple is completed, he declares himself to be God. Imagine Vladimir Putin doing the same thing, or Barack Obama, or any national figure. He comes and he makes a contract and he lies, because he sets himself up against everything that is God. You following me? He says, don't be deceived. Dana and I were at the skate park, I think on Thursday, and we were sitting down with this kid called DP and another kid called John. And I was talking with DP for a while, and I'm going to talk about John a little bit later. And he said, you know, everything that you are talking about, I've already thought about. And he said, in fact, I said, okay, God, I'll follow you. I'll turn my life over to you. This kid grew up in church. Got some challenges in his life. But he goes, you know what? He's telling me this. The very next day, my manager gave me a bag of weed. I took that as a sign from God that it was okay for me to continue in my lifestyle. And I kid you not, I said, do you ever think that maybe this was a sign from the devil that he doesn't want you to get on track with God? See, there's a meeting that's going to happen in the air. And not everybody is going to make that meeting. He says, don't be deceived. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's keep going. We okay? Could go long. The tribulation comes after the rapture. We are still in 2 Thessalonians, continuing to read. And now you know what is holding him, the Antichrist, back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie, and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. There is one who is holding back sin. The church and the Holy Spirit stand in the way of the great tribulation. When the rapture occurs and Jesus appears in the clouds with that trumpet call, and he calls the dead in Christ and he calls the alive in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes with the church. The Holy Spirit is the one who now restrains sin. It's getting pretty rough out there. Amen? My wife says, oh, it's worse than it ever has been. No, it's not. Because the Holy Spirit is restraining sin. Bible tells us that in the time of Noah, that men's thoughts were only towards evil all the time. It's not like that yet. But as soon as the Holy Spirit is removed, there will be this massive leap ahead of evil. And the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed. And everything will change. Amen? Let me talk a little bit about you, what's going to happen in the tribulation when the Antichrist comes with false miracles and a false gospel and a false message and the lie and deceive even the elect. And you'll be forced to choose between heaven and hell. Revelation 13, 15 through 18 says, it also forced all people to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and that number is 666. If you got that number, you're not going to make the meeting. All right, we're getting thick here now. Revelation chapter 5. Move from Thessalonians to Revelation. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? This is John writing, the Apostle John. But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Can I get a witness for the Lion of the tribe of Judah? The root of David has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. And then I saw a lamb looking as if he had been slain. It is the seals that kick off the tribulation. First four chapters of Revelation, we got kind of pictures of heaven and what's going on with John. We got some letters, seven letters to the churches that come from the Lord. And now we start moving into what is going on. I got a breakdown of the tribulation for you here on the screen. And as our Lord opens the seals that sealed the scroll, the Antichrist is revealed. Anarchy just goes pat all over the earth. Famine, a quarter of the inhabitants of the earth are slain. The great martyrdom happens as the Antichrist moves against the church. Earthquake happened, and then the last seal is a trumpet. And angels come and blow seven trumpets and attacks the trees. The sea, a third of the sea turns to blood. A third of the rivers turn to blood. The sun is darkened. A third of the sun is darkened. The abyss is open. A third of people are killed. And an army goes out. And all these thirds are happening. And then the seventh trumpet opens up these vials. Okay? And they're like bowls. They're the bowls of God's wrath. This happens between Revelation 5 and 16, okay? And so it's like the seven seals go into the seven trumpets, which goes into the seven vials or bowls, and they are called the bowls of God's wrath, okay? All right, it's big. It's a big thing. Okay, now, he says, watch out. And we talk about these martyrs and people getting killed. What happens in the seventh seal in Revelation? Let me get this. Revelation 7, 144,000 Jews are sealed with the name of God. 12,000 from each tribe. And they become the greatest evangelists that the world has known. And so there is this competing message that goes out, the message of Antichrist and the lie and the message of the kingdom of God. Amen? Then what happens on the seventh trumpet, the two witnesses come forth and they testify and witness in the temple. And this is where the Antichrist is working out of. And they are unable to be killed. They are invincible. And so you get the 144,000 going out and preaching the gospel. And it's a different gospel, right? Because Jesus is gone, church is gone. It is, hey, Jesus is coming back. Messiah is coming back, right? You want to be there. You want to make it through. Don't take the mark of the beast. Don't do any of this stuff. Stand, keep strong, and carry on. Amen? And the two witnesses are there right in the face of Antichrist, and he can't kill them. And so there is this battle. Battle of the truth and the battle of the lie. And then we move into Revelation 17 and 18. And we talk about the fall of Babylon the Great. And Babylon the Great stands for an allegory, talks about all the false religions of the world. And all those false religions focus on Antichrist. And he becomes the focus of their worship. And he reigns in Jerusalem, in the temple. Are you tripping? It's a lot. This is probably the most advanced message that I've preached in 5 years. So, if you're not getting it all, you can listen to it again on Facebook today. Read the book of Revelation. You can read 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. You can read Matthew 24. Give you a lot of stuff on it. There's books and books and books and books written about this. But in the end of, get to Revelation chapter 18, talks about the angels proclaiming the coming destruction of Babylon the Great and a call to the people of God. Come out of her. Come out of Babylon. Come out of Jerusalem that had been so polluted. Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. And you can read about all of Revelation 18. It just goes on and on and on and on. It says, don't be lost. There's a meeting, and you don't want to miss it. Amen? I talked about DP and John. Dana and I were talking with her. I talked to them a little bit longer. Dana's doing the food stuff. She came over and joined us. I said, Dana, come on over here. Because we're talking about them, and they're basically getting high all day, every day, and skateboarding, and that's the extent of their life. And I've shared that picture, that image with you before. And we're talking about them, and DP said, yeah, you know, I've been talking about the Lord, and give my life to the Lord. And then my manager gave me this weed. And I'm saying, guy, and he's got anxiety. He says, man, I had anxiety since I was 9. They want to give me all these meds and medicate, and you're telling me I should become hooked on all those meds rather than smoking weed. And I said, no, there's something better for you. I said, you can give your life to the Lord, and he can heal you. But I'm telling you, the stuff that you are using to heal your anxiety is now destroying your life. And he says, hey, it works for me. How do you know? I said, I've been there. I have been there. I've done way more drugs than you could ever even think about, and I'm telling you that it will destroy you. And I said, Dana, how many drugs have you done? She said, I've done too much. I said, what do you think? It will destroy you. And I talked to this guy, John, and I talked to this guy, DP, and they're like, yeah, but you don't know us. There are some people that are making money and doing weed. And I said, look, I got a whole church full of people that will tell you Amen. That you are being destroyed and you just don't know it yet. Amen. There's going to be a meeting, and some people just aren't going to make it. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, let's keep going. Trying to get out of here on time. All right, we're coming to the second part of the day of the Lord. Whew. This is good, good. I'll tell you what. This is a good book. Amen. It's good. I don't know if I got a favorite part, but I sure like this part. Revelation 19, 11 through 13. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood. And his name is Word of God. Jesus is coming back to reign. Amen. Amen. Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Lion of David.
Lion of King. Now, he is coming back. Stick here. Track with me, okay? He's coming back to Jerusalem to clean things up. Why? Because you've got the Antichrist being sacrificed to in the temple. It's messed up. Can I get a witness on that? Now, this is the temple area. Okay, this is ancient Jerusalem. Modern city up there towards the top. And Zechariah tells us that Jesus, when he... Wow. Sorry. I just realized that. But you guys can see what I'm pointing to. That, okay, so here's the temple. Mount of Olives is right there. Zechariah says that when the Lord returns, that his feet will set down on the Mount of Olives, and that the Mount of Olives will split in two. Okay? Then he's going to do what? He is going to come to the temple and clean it up. He is going to interface. He is going to battle with the kings and the armies of the nations. He is going to do battle with the Antichrist and the false prophets. And so, you might ask, where will he meet these armies? Well, this is the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And it is in the Valley of Jehoshaphat that the Battle of Armageddon will take place. And the Bible tells us that the blood shed and the Bible of Armageddon will be raised up to the bellies of their horses. All right there, folks. Jesus is coming back and is going to destroy Babylon the Great and cleanse the temple and do battle. Whew! I'll tell you what. If you're not getting all this, listen to it again, folks. Read Revelation 19 and 20. I'll tell you what, sit down and read the book. I mean, you get them seals, you got the seals, you got the trumpets, you got the vials, some little funky going on in there, you know. You got the harlot on the dragon, you got all this stuff, but you just kind of follow it through. All right, Jesus comes and he takes on the Antichrist, the false prophet, and he begins to reign for 1,000 years. Okay. Stay with me. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right. Check it out. We talked about the feasts several weeks ago. I told you that I was going to come back to them. Passover. Jesus, our Passover lamb sacrificed for us, right? Good Friday. Jesus hangs on a cross and is killed and dies for our sins. On the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Jesus is put in the ground. And on the Feast of First Fruits, first day of the week, he is raised from the dead. And so we see all these spring feasts are all wrapped up in the life and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Then we see Pentecost. If you are familiar, we are called Pentecostals. That is because we trace our lineage back to the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit is poured out on 120 believers. And the apostle Peter goes into the temple and preaches, and 3,000 Jews, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Amen? And so the Feast of Pentecost is a harvest feast. And what it does is we take a look from these spring feasts, which were put into effect at the time of Moses, 1,500 years before Christ, and we see how they are revealed in the life of Christ. And we see in Pentecost, the Holy Spirit poured out, the restrainer of sin. And we see in this time, there's this big old gap. The church age. The age in which we live in today, in which there is an incredible harvest of souls. I'm blessed. Are you blessed? Yes. Track with this. Let's go. We're going to end it up. Hebrews. I'm sorry, I didn't tell you we're going to go to Hebrews. Hebrews 8. Now the main point of what we're saying is this. Writer of Hebrews is a smart guy. Holy Ghost wrote the whole book. Amen? We do have such a high priest. We're talking about Jesus, who sat down at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven, and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by mere human beings. Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. And so it was necessary for this one also, we're talking about Jesus, to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there were already priests to offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve in a sanctuary that is a copy, a shadow of what is in heaven. Jesus makes things right. What the writer of Hebrews says is we have a high priest who ministers at the tabernacle in heaven. Amen? That he is doing ministry there. Now, let us come back to the feasts. And we're going to come back to the fall feasts. The first feast is the feast of trumpets. Everybody say trumpets. That's just so I can make sure you're tracking with me. This is the description of the Feast of Trumpets. Leviticus 23:24. Say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, you are to have a day of Sabbath rest. Now, we come back here. This Tishri is the seventh month. It has three, and look, you got three right over here in Nisan, the spring feast. You got three right over here in the fall feast of 1 month. They're clumped together, right? And he says about this first day of the month, of the seventh month, you are to have a day of Sabbath rest. Everybody track with that, right? Sabbath rest, don't do any work. And he says, hey, a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blasts. That's it. Doesn't say think about anything. Just says blow the trumpet. And I want you to remember that when Jesus comes in the clouds, there's going to be a trumpet that's blowing in the sky. Amen? Amen. The second thing that we got going on here is the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. It is the day in which the high priest makes atonement for the sin of Israel. Jesus is our great high priest. And he comes on a white horse wearing a robe dipped in blood. Remember that part? Well, I don't know what you picture, but I picture Jesus on a, you know, we got the eyes, we got all that stuff going on. White horse. And I'm thinking that, you ever see those prayer shawls, you know, where the Jews wear, they have the little tassels. I'm thinking that Jesus' robe is dipped, just the hem, in blood. But I looked at that word, it don't mean dipped. It means dunked. It means immersed. It can even mean dyed. So Jesus, and it hadn't been any battle yet. The battle is in front of him. So he shows up leading the armies of heaven, riding on a white horse with a blood-soaked robe. What is going on? And we have to ask ourselves, where did he come from? We came from the tabernacle in heaven. And we take a look at our feast again. And the Day of Atonement comes right after the Feast of Trumpets and that trumpet blast. And he is in the most holy place making atonement for Jerusalem and making atonement for the temple and making atonement for the people so that he can come and reign for 1,000 years. Are you tracking with me? So then we come to the Feast of Tabernacles. Sorry. I didn't put it up there. Live in temporary shelters for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in such shelters so that your descendants will know that I had the Israelites live in temporary shelters when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Why? Why after the most holy day would you put the Feast of Tabernacles? Because Jesus is coming back with a trumpet blast. Amen? Amen? He's coming back with a robe soaked in blood. Whose blood? His blood. The atonement for the sacrifice of the world. So that he can come and live and reign with his people. I am the Lord your God. I got tingles up here. Anybody else got tingles up here? I got one more text I'm going to give you. Jesus, Matthew 5:17. He says, don't think that I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. There's going to be a meeting in the air, folks. I'm planning on attending. I'm planning on my wife. Where is my wife? Oh, there she is. She looks startlingly like Mary Jo for a moment. Many of us. I shouldn't be laughing at that. You know what? Many of us are going to be at that meeting. And I want to let you know it's not a meeting that you want to miss. You want to come up and play, Lisa? Are you careful? Are you focused? Are you ready for the trumpet to sound, the dead in Christ to rise, and for you to go with them? I hope you are. It's not going to be a meeting that you want to miss. Lord, I thank you that you are good, mighty, and awesome. I pray clarity on this message. I pray those that don't have clarity, come and talk to me, Pastor Paul. Read these verses, this text, listen to this message over again, and get an understanding to grab on to the future and our Lord who comes in the skies with a trumpet blast and says, come on up. Send out invitations, handwritten in his blood. They say, come, spend eternity with me. I hope you have one. And if you don't, in your heart you can say, Jesus, I want to come. I want to be at that meeting in the air. I want to know you as my King and Savior. And I'd like that invitation. Lord, I thank you that you are good, mighty, and awesome. I thank you that we can understand all this stuff. And I thank you that we can go to that meeting. Let's all stand. The worship team is going to come. And we're going to sing a little bit. You want to talk to the Lord about your invitation right up here. Great place. Talk with the Lord. Amen? Amen? Amen. You got any questions, come and talk to me, okay?